This is Teresa, and we're in the studio here at K-Bright Radio with my guest, Terry Marcroft. She is the founder and executive director of Unplanned Good, a nonprofit that she's going to be sharing a lot about today, and a book author of Pro-Choice, Pro-Adoption, A Loving Response to Unplanned Pregnancy. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you, Teresa.
Would you lead us in prayer before we get started?
I would love to. Dear Father God, we know that you are present with us today. We ask you to bless our conversation, guide our words, and direct our hearts as we talk today about adoption and why it means something to everybody who's a part of your kingdom. We ask you to bless our conversation in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before I ask you questions, I wanted to ask you how you came to know Jesus.
I came to know Jesus way back when I was born. Actually, I was born to a Catholic couple mm-hmm. who was very strong in their faith. Mm-hmm. So they had all seven of their kids baptized when they were less than a month old. So baptism from the beginning, and then 16 years of Catholic school to follow that. Mm-hmm. And then, like many, I fell away at college and then came back to the Lord through, you know, when we hit our lows in life, that's when we turned to the Lord. And I have to say it was the same with me. Low point, and he was there.
Yeah, I can relate to that. It's oftentimes when we're at our deepest, darkest hour, you know, where we're on our hands and knees and we're like, oh, wow, we really can't do this without you, Lord. We're like, wow, we tried, but we can't do it.
We really do try, but we can't do it. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Will you tell us why you decided to author this book, Pro-Choice, Pro-Adoption?
That was based on a revelation. When my husband and I were trying to start our family, and that proved to be surprisingly difficult, we turned to adoption, and we were able to have a smooth and successful, healthy adoption in 1999. We were blessed with our daughter through adoption. Mm. And then it was over the next decade that friends started asking me, you know, how did that go so smoothly for you, Terry, when they were having a hard time adopting? And so that prompted me to dig into the data and the details. And I learned that out of the 3 million unplanned pregnancies in this country every year, fewer than 1% of those women choose to make an adoption plan. And I just thought, that's got to change.
Yeah.
And so I became an advocate for adoption, not only basic adoption, but open adoption. And then when Roe v. Wade changed in 22 with the Dobbs decision getting overturned, I just thought, that's it. More people need to understand what adoption looks like these days. And so I took everything I had learned from my research and put it into this book.
Wow. A fun fact, actually, my mom was adopted. Well, she was adopted at an older age. So I would say she was more sponsored than adopted. But anyway, she was in Korea and they brought her to America. And so my grandparents, well, my grandpa was American Indian. I'm actually Korean. So it's funny because I tell this story sometimes, rarely, but sometimes. And they're like, wait, you have American Indian here? I'm like, no, I'm not. But yeah, so it's a fun little fact of mine. So I do have a special place in my heart for adoption. There's so many babies that need families. So if there are people that can't have them, and I know there's like a lot of personal friends of mine who try to go through all the, whether it was IVF or, you know, other things. And adoption for my cousin was successful. It was great. He also adopted a little boy after having a son of his own with his wife. And it's so neat to see the family dynamic, how it shifted. It's so joyful because he's so little and just came in just fired up. And so it's definitely not boring in that household.
No, it's definitely a new journey. It's not boring at all.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. There are so many people who would like to adopt. And but the conversation has flipped a little bit towards the other side where there are so few women who are placing for adoption. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to change, is that, you know, so many of them believe that they have to choose between abortion and parenting. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, you know, being between a rock and a hard place right there. It's a difficult situation.
Sure.
And so we're highlighting the beauty of adoption and holding it up as an alternative, and want women to, you know, really think through all of the options. And if they do look at the big picture, not just the short term, they might see adoption as a healthy option.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we're very pro-life here at K-Bright. So I personally am very pro-life, and I do the walks and the marches, and whether it's with Love Life here with Sean Thornburg or the White Rose Resistance with Stephen Paez, there's a lot that we do over here, and it is so important because there are so many choices and options. Abortion is not the answer, and so there are nonprofits like you that help with that transition, that choice, that option. Your nonprofit, Unplanned Good, as an advocate, there's so much that goes into that. Why is it necessary to put that in the forefront?
Well, we want to put adoption in the forefront because we do believe that it can be a healthier option, especially healthier than abortion, because women are just not being informed today about all of the damage that abortion can do to their bodies or to their mental health, their emotional state, or to their future pregnancies.
Yes.
And so those three areas are very serious risks that women face when they choose abortion, and especially successive, repeated, multiple abortions. That just gets astronomically higher. But that narrative is being suppressed in our society today, and abortion is being presented as a quick and easy fix. And, you know, you can do this tomorrow and then still go out to dinner on Saturday night. And it's just, it's so minimizing the risks to, it's being called healthcare when it's actually just the opposite. It's a risk to the women's health. And so we feel strongly about presenting adoption as a healthier option, because basically it just involves letting your body continue doing what it's doing, like go through the next 7 or 8 months, complete that pregnancy. And if you choose to do that, it might be quite a bit less overwhelming than the idea of parenting for the next 20 years. If you can just see it as getting through the next 7 or 8 months and then choosing parents for your baby, that can be a much more empowering mindset.
I think there's a lot of different tools to help make that mindset shift where it's like so daunting. And what's so cool about some of the nonprofits here locally, like the ones I mentioned earlier, they actually throw you like baby showers and they walk the journey with you. It's not just, oh, convince you of having and keeping this baby and then, okay, bye, have a good life. It's like they go through the whole process with you. And there's families that they still know like 5 years later, and they get to watch the kid who, you know, wasn't going to be here if it wasn't for them to pray over them and give them alternative options like adoption. It's just so cool to see how that family has grown today. Yes. There's many stories like that.
Yes, there are many stories like that. And the idea of when you speak to a woman who's facing an unplanned pregnancy, presenting the idea of like not interrupting her pregnancy, but going ahead and completing it, and then all of the empowering decisions that she can make, and present it that she could actually create a new family. And it might even be the most important thing she's ever done in her life so far, or maybe altogether.
It's a life. So absolutely.
So creating a family, and then stayed in touch with her baby. Because one of the concerns that young women have is, you know, they would give up their baby, that's in quotes, give up their baby, and then never know what happened to their baby. That just doesn't have to happen anymore with the option of open adoption.
I see. Yeah, I do know of that, of a story. Like I mentioned, my cousin, the mom is actually in Korea, and they still keep in contact and share photos of little Joshua. And it's so cute because she's still involved in so medical history and all that. It's just that she couldn't keep the baby. And so for whatever her reasons are, and that's her story, but I think it's so beautiful to be able to stay connected, because there are so many questions. I feel like this is like a new way of having that connected relationship with someone who didn't just abandon you and say, I can't have you, and so I can't even look at you and be a part of your life at all. Or this, like, for the child, I feel like later on feels, because I know adults now who just found out they were adopted and they're like, wait, what? You're not my real dad or mom or this. Or there's some stories where I had a friend, and this was like maybe like 10 years ago, found out he was adopted, and his life just spiraled down because he his identity was like, who am I then? And I'm like, if I could have back then, I would have been like, it's okay. Your identity is in Christ. Like, we're all good. Don't you worry. Like, you're still the same person. You just don't have certain medical history, or you don't have little, you know, details. Of course, it's easier said than done. But I feel like this option where, you know, open, like, that's so cool. And would you say that's like the difference?
Yes, definitely. Because that person who finds out later in life that they were adopted, they feel betrayed, because their first thought is, so wait, mom, dad, you've been lying to me for my entire life. That's very traumatic.
I know.
And so the fact that adoption in this country has changed completely in the last 25 years or so, and it's underscored with honesty and being upfront and transparent about everything, that's healthier anyway. We know that in all aspects of life. That's just a good policy.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to adoption, you know, letting the child know, not only did your mom, your birth mom, not, you know, just give you up, she actually went the extra mile and made a very difficult decision along a really hard road out of love for you. And so realizing that, like, it wasn't the easy thing to do. It certainly wasn't the quick way out of that unplanned pregnancy. So realizing that your birth mother went way out of her way to make sure that you had a life, number one, and that you had a good life by choosing some stable parents who were ready to raise children. That's a really big deal.
It is a big deal. That's 9 months in someone's belly to, like, feel sick and nauseous and go through all the hormones and body shifts and changes. And so it's not just saying, like, oh, I didn't want you, so I gave you up. It's, I loved you enough to keep you, and I wanted to go full term and have you come to life, right? And be a born child, but I didn't have the means, whatever the reason, or, you know.
So then that woman can choose parents for her baby, and she can choose the values that she wants. In our case, our birth mother had her own specific reasons for choosing my husband and me. And she was able to, you know, look at, you know, 15, 20 different profiles of adoptive parents and then make her decisions. You know, if you want any criteria, you could say you want a Catholic or a Protestant or a Jewish couple. You could have anything, a stay-at-home mom or a working mom. All of that is up for discussion when you're choosing parents for your baby.
Wow. I didn't know that you can actually choose all that. I feel like you weren't joking when you said the last few decades of adoption has actually changed a lot.
Yes, it has. It has. So open adoption now is the standard practice. And like over 90% of them are open to some degree. And that is really just referring to a continuum where, on the restricted side, it could mean just sending, you know, one Christmas card per year. And then on the other side, where it's very, very open, there are visits and phone calls and Thanksgiving dinners together. It's all
like, it's co-parenting all feel vibes.
Well, not co-parenting, because the adoptive parents have authority.
I just felt like, it felt like co-parenting vibes if you're like at the dinner table and like everybody has to just get along because of this child. And so be nice and on your best behavior. But I can imagine that's really, How cool is that for the kid who gets like a huge family like that, though?
Yes.
That's it's so awesome. Double.
I mean, who doesn't need more people to love?
To love them. Yes. Yeah. I need more people to love me.
I need more people to love me, too.
That's funny.
But my daughter was informed about all of this from the earliest conversations, you know, when she was two and pointed to a woman walking down the street at, you know, 8 months pregnant and saying, "Mom, look, she's pregnant like you were." And so it was my chance, my opportunity to correct her and say, "Actually, you didn't grow in my tummy, sweetie. You grew in the tummy of a different woman, but you grew in my heart," you know.
Oh, so we can, I love that. Yeah.
Start with really simplistic explanations. And then as they grow up, they can ask more detailed questions. And if they get honest answers, it really helped the relationship between my daughter and me as well. Mm.
I feel like just being honest, because you're right. It feels like betrayal because it's a lie. Because you know how they say, not telling me everything is giving me half of it, which means you're keeping something from me. And that feels like a lie. So I do like this new concept. Maybe it's not that new to you, but new concept to me of open adoption. I feel like being able to have that open relationship and then being able to ask and answer like truthfully and honestly, it just builds that foundation, that solid foundation of trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's helpful for everybody involved in the adoption, like not only the child who's adopted, it's helpful for the adoptive parents to have access to all that information and to have a relationship with the birth parents. And it's also helpful to the birth parents because it helps the birth mom to heal from the separation that she has chosen. And it helps her to know that the child is thriving and doing well in the family that she chose.
And that makes her happy.
It's just good all the way around.
I
should say it can be. It isn't guaranteed because some people get a little wacko and go into it with the wrong wrong intentions.
Sure, but a little really, wacko. I love
it
that.
It can be beautiful.
It can be, yes.
I think God blessed us with a really healthy adoption so that I could do this work and put it forward as an example.
Yeah, you're calling and you said yes to the assignment. I love that.
You got to say yes. When he calls you, he knows what he's doing. Come on.
Yes and amen. Yes and amen. That's what I think. Just say yes and amen.
He's led the whole journey of Unplanned Good the way that we've gone along. It's just been phenomenal and beyond what I ever could have imagined for this little nonprofit.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, so for the first 15 years, so I started it in 2009 when my daughter Sydney was only 10 years old. And so for the time that I was raising her, you know, it was only a couple of hours a month, but I wanted to get the word out about open adoption to everybody who would listen and for women to know that it was one of their options if they're facing an unplanned pregnancy. And then all at once, when Sydney graduated college and Dobbs got overturned, and there were all these things going on in our country about, you know, abortion being talked about and unplanned pregnancy being talked about, my board and I talked about what we should do with this at Unplanned Good. And one of the suggestions was to take everything that we knew about adoption and put it down in a book. So we did that in 23.
Wow.
Since the conversation was on the forefront of our social dialogue. So that was the book in 23. And then that led to some legislative work. And for us, it's all about getting adoption to be, to have people understand it better and then to make it a little easier and friendlier and not so scary.
Yeah.
And to reaffirm the decision-making power of birth mothers. And also to take better care of the women who choose adoption, the birth mothers.
Yeah. Is that something that you actually help them with? Like you mentioned legal, you know, representation and all that. Like, is that part of the process?
It is part of the adoption process, and we'll point them to resources when they decide that they want to pursue an adoption and make an adoption plan. We'll point them towards resources and then help to inform them about their rights if the adoption agency doesn't do it, which sometimes they don't. But we'll let them know that they are entitled to so much decision making that most women have no idea that they can choose an open adoption, sure, that they can be represented by a lawyer, that they can go to counseling, that they can get some of many of their pregnancy related medical expenses taken care of, and even many of their pregnancy related living expenses. So all these things people just don't know today because it's changed so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually very surprised with what you're saying. So I'm wondering, unplanned good, tell me in a simple sentence, what do you guys actually do?
We advocate for open adoption as an alternative for women facing unplanned pregnancy.
And how do they get help from you?
They get information from us is what they receive, because we want them to know that adoption is an option, number one. Mm-hmm. They can choose life and not be saddled with 20 years of parenting. Mm-hmm. That is a huge revelation to people. Like, what? I can go through with the pregnancy, but I'm not on the hook for 20 years of parenting?
Sure.
That's a huge relief to people, just to be educated about that option. And then further, that they can choose parents. You know, to let them know, you can look at 20 books of adoptive parents, or you can look at 200 couples if you want to.
Yeah.
You can choose a stay-at-home mom or a career mom. You can choose a Catholic couple or a Jewish couple.
Yeah.
You can choose a rural couple or an urban couple, a home with kids or without kids. You know, so much is up to the woman who's placing her baby for adoption. And we want them to be informed of all of those very empowering decisions.
So where do they go for that information? How do they connect with you?
So a lot of that is on our website, unplannedgood.org. There's a lot of information about adoptive resources. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that really concerns women is they say, well, what's going to happen to me? And will my child hate me? And so we have a whole section of our website that's devoted to personal testimonials so that they can read from the birth mother's standpoint, maybe looking back a decade later. And they can also read from the adoptive child's standpoint, like how do they feel about their mom who chose adoption?
Yeah. Wow. That's
Let's answer those questions to give you some peace of mind.
Wow. That's very cool. Terry, do you have any final words for our listeners?
You know, I would like to share one thought, and that is that today, one out of every four teenage girls will be pregnant by the time they're 20. And so that means that there's an unplanned pregnancy somewhere close to all of us. It could be in our neighborhood, it could be in our family, or in the local school, or in our church. There's a pregnant woman somewhere around you and in your life. And to me, that's why all of us would want to get equipped to talk about adoption. If we have any of these young women coming to us and saying, help me figure this out, what should I do? If we're prepared to talk about adoption and share even just a little bit about open adoption, that could be a game changer. That could make all the difference in her looking into it and finding out how empowering it can be.
Absolutely. Man, Terry, you're doing some really important things, giving options to women who feel like they have no options, so they do decide to abort. So this is a huge, huge, huge. And I want people to know that they can go to unplannedgood.org. Today's guest is Terry, a book author. Her book title is Pro-Choice, Pro-Adoption, A Loving, Positive Response to Unplanned Pregnancy. You can find more information at unplannedgood.org. It's a refreshing new look at the options for women facing an unplanned pregnancy. And it also uncovers why adoption can now be embraced as a loving, positive response. I want to thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
This has been In the Studio, a public affairs presentation of the Crawford Media Group. Please email us your comments, suggestions, and ideas to publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Again, that's publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com.